Well, good morning, church. Man, I'm so glad that you are here today to celebrate a risen Savior together. We have an incredible life in Jesus Christ, do we not? And whether you're here in this worship hall or joining us online, man, I want you to know that you are part of the family of God. God knows you by name. He knows your story. He's journeying with you no matter what is going on in your life. He knows you. He loves you. He is our Heavenly Father. And church, we have an incredible life in that risen Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, so I hope you've got your Bibles and will turn with me there. We'll be there in a few moments, Matthew 6, but we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 2 for just a moment, and then we'll be to the Lord's Prayer to continue this series. You know, this is the third week that we have been in this series, Your Kingdom Come, and it's really our theme for the whole year because we want to live out and live into the kingdom of God. We want that to be part of our daily mantra, our daily prayer, that God's kingdom would come in our life. No matter what is going on around us, we want Him to be glorified, His name to be lifted up. We want to take a back seat and we want God to drive our life. We want to be people who are called kingdom people. And this prayer that Jesus offers for us as an example in the Sermon on the Mount reminds us of the things that we need to be praying for each and every day, not just a Sunday morning event, but every single day of our life, we need to be in dialogue with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. You know, we make decisions every single day in our life, and there are moments when some are more important maybe than other decisions that we tend to make. We know as Christians that prayer is essential for our daily life, but there are moments in our life where prayer is absolutely needing to be focused, that we need to be really aware of what we're asking God to do in our life. And sometimes as we live life out in those moments, it seems like a normal, regular day to us, but we move on in life, and then we get kind of down the road a little bit, and we look back on those big decisions that we made, not recognizing that those decisions have massive ripple effects. And if we had known that in the moment, we would have asked for more input from friends and family, would have been more strategic about how we planned out for that particular moment to go for us as we're asking God to present His will for us in our life, to dovetail it with our own life so that we live out what He's calling us to do. There are those important moments that we have in our life where we need to be focused. Prayer is incredibly important to our Christian walk. Very essential moment for us to live that out each and every day. There are moments right now in our history, whether we're talking about our nation or our world, as we move into 2021, where the world is taking a look to the right and they see we could go this way, but there's some obstacles that we need to overcome. They're looking also some to the left and they're saying there's still some obstacles here that we need to overcome. We could go left or right. And while the world is looking left and right, we as people of God, as kingdom people, are going to look up because we want God to bless our decision-making. We want to live into His will, into our life each and every day. We are people who look up. That's what kingdom people is all about, being a person of God's kingdom. Because we know ultimately God is going to send His Son, Jesus Christ, back to get His bride. And church, that is us. Maranatha, I can't wait for that day to happen. How about you? I want to live with our Heavenly Father. I want everything to be as it should be, perfect and without sin or blemish or negative. We want Jesus to come. And there's going to be a day where Jesus looks down and He says, you know, there is enough division, enough racism. There's been enough separation. There's been enough bullying going on. There's been enough empty bank accounts. There's been enough cancer. There's been enough illness. There's been enough of the Dallas Cowboys losing games. It's time to come back. It's time. There's going to be that moment where Jesus comes back for us and we pray truly for that day to come. Because Jesus Christ, church, is our hope. He is the light of the world. He is the one that we can trust with our very lives. He gave Himself for you and for me. And even now, Jesus is taking the good, the bad, and the ugly in our lives, and He's weaving together a story that will ultimately give Him glory. Because God works for the good of those who believe in Him. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus offers this example of what a prayer should look like. And so he begins that prayer by saying, "Our Father," and I love that pronoun because he doesn't begin, "My Father." "Our" reminds me and you that this is a community event. We are the family of God. And we've got distant cousins, we've got uncles that we may not want to see ever again at that family reunion, but whatever is going on in our family, it's true for us as the family of God. "Our Father" reminds us that we're in this together, that we journey together through the Spirit of God. "Our Father" reminds us that He is our Heavenly Father. We are His sons and daughters. And because of that, we have an incredibly intimate relationship with our Creator. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and then that empty grave and His resurrection, we can walk right into the throne room of our Heavenly Father and talk about our worries and our anxieties, our victories and our celebrations. We have that kind of relationship with our Creator. And equally, we can have immediate access to our Heavenly Father. We don't have to wait around. We don't have to wait till Sunday. But any given moment, you can talk to your Heavenly Father, and He wants that conversation to happen. Jesus goes on after "Our Father who art in heaven," and He says, "Hallowed be your name," or "Holy may your name be kept." And holy is that reminder that Jesus stands outside of anything else that we know. God is His own entity. He stands alone. He's set apart. He's something different. There is no real word, no picture image we have in our culture that can adequately describe how awesome our God is. He is an incredible God. There's nothing more powerful than our God. You see, Jesus took everything that Satan and the world could throw at Him, and He overcame everything, even death. And because of that, when we're found in Him, we too can overcome anything the world throws at us. We are overcomers by nature because of the Holy Spirit living within us. And when we start our prayers this way, it changes our perspective. We begin, stop focusing on the mountains and begin focusing on the mountain mover, our great God. Last week, we unpacked the idea of your kingdom come, and what does kingdom actually look like? Because certainly earthly kingdoms take a different slant than what Jesus presented. Earthly kingdoms are all about wealth and power and position and bullying and pressure to make you do what I want you to do. That's what earthly kingdoms are all about. And then Jesus comes in and turns everything on its head. Everything upside down. He says, "My kingdom is not about anything like that. Instead, my kingdom is about love and service and living humbly with those that you're journeying with along the way. It's not exercising power and wealth and fame." In Jesus' kingdom, He says, the truth is, the greatest in my kingdom is going to be servant and slave of all. That the first person in my kingdom is actually going to be the last, and the last person is going to be first. My kingdom looks different because it's about something different. It's about more power than the entire entities upon earth can muster, where you live selflessly and humbly. It's about putting other people first, where you become light in the darkness that clouds our world. We begin to shine like Jesus. We emanate Him. He is the one that rules our life, and the world knows it because we are kingdom people. You know, this week we've got a new president coming into office. We've got an inauguration that's going to happen about midweek, I believe. And Paul reminds us as kingdom people what we should be about when it comes to those who rule our land. 1 Timothy chapter 2, he's talking to his understudy, young Timothy, and he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "Pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." Pray for the authorities in the land. And so I want you to join with our leadership team as we continue this 30 days of prayer that we started in January 3rd. Maybe you didn't begin with us, and that's all right. You can download it off the website or grab a hard copy at the desk on your way out. But we would ask you to join the leadership team here today in praying this week for the incoming leadership of our country, that they would be wise and discerning, that they would be spirit-led, that they would desire to listen to God's will and implement that in the system that we have in place here in our country. You see, we pray for those who may even oppose us. You know, when Paul writes this, there is a Caesar in the world, and Nero was this Caesar in Rome who had it out for Christians. He actually burned down a large portion of Rome and then blamed it on Christians. Christians did not have a leg to stand on, no voice in society, and they took the brunt of that persecution. They were imprisoned and killed over and over and over again. I've stood in Rome at Circus Maximus where Nero, during the night games, there's a median there down the track and poles in the middle of the median where he would tie Christians to those poles, pour tar and pitch on them, light them on fire so the night games could be viewed by the spectators. And Paul says, yeah, that guy, let's pray for him. Pray that he will understand who Jesus Christ is, his will and his life. And so we too offer prayer for those who are in leadership in our country. Why? Because kingdom people love, we serve, and we live humbly with those around us. That's what kingdom is all about. And so in our prayer that we're going to unpack today, we're going to unpack the latter part of verse 10. Jesus offers an example of what prayer could and should look like. And so Jesus begins in verse 9 by saying, pray like this, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." May your will be done. Now, I don't know, you might be a lot like me, because there have been moments in my life where I have prayed that prayer, God, may your will be in my life. And once I receive your will, then I'll measure it, and if I like it, then we'll go ahead and do it. Anybody else kind of like that, have been like that at moments? Yeah, we kind of weigh that out. But as we pray this prayer, we're truly asking God, remove my will from my life. I want your will in my life. So incredibly important that we recognize God wants what's best for us. Jesus said in his life, I've come to give you life and life into the abundant, and we want that kind of life. And so what do I need to do in my life to understand the will of God, to know the will of God? So this morning, we're going to unpack the last part of this verse. We're going to give you some practical application. It's not really going to be anything new that you haven't heard before, but they're going to be reminders of who we need to be about every single day of our life as we pray for God's will to come into our life. And the first idea is this: for God's will to be done, then I've got to obey his instruction. I've got to listen for his instruction. I've got to know what God wants me to do as I live out my life here for him, to give him glory. Now, my guess is that you've got kids in your life, maybe you've got grandkids in your life, and you have taken the opportunity to show them some things along the way, maybe how to change a flat tire, maybe how to cook a cake for the family, maybe how to load the dishwasher, maybe do some woodworking on the side. I remember when our oldest son, Tanner, was about the right age to kind of show him the beauty of getting to mow the yard. I'm sure you've had those moments before too. And so I remember he came home from work one day, I'm sitting on the couch, TV up loud, and I just said, "Hey Tanner, the lawnmower's that red thing out in the shed, go out there, you've got to hold this clutch down before you pull the rope, and I want every blade of grass mowed, and just make it happen." No, that is not how that happened at all. I went with Tanner out to the shed. We pulled out the red lawnmower, and I cautioned him about putting toes under the lawnmower. Don't do that. That would not end well. But how to work the clutch and how the rope pull works on the lawnmower, and about how to mow straight lines. Now, that particular lesson took several shots, but we got it right finally. And then how to use the weed eater, and eventually how to pick up all the refuse and tuck it all away. Have a clean yard after the moment. But he wouldn't have known that had he not spent time with me and I offered that instruction. And so as we try to understand God's will in our life, it's a reminder that we've got to lean into the instruction that God has for us. And this much I know, that if I don't follow God, you will never be in his will. You will never be in his will, because his will requires us to be with him so that he can impart it to us, so that we know what his will is for us in our life. And if you choose not to follow God, there's not really a possible way for you to do that. Toward the end of Jesus' life in Matthew chapter 26, there's a moment before the chaos begins in Jesus' life. The disciples and Jesus are in the upper room in Jerusalem, and it's dark outside after they finish the meal. They walk out the city gate to the Olive Garden, not the restaurant, outside the city. And they're praying in the deep of the night. And it's in this moment that Jesus truly knows what's about to happen to him. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be beat. He's going to be slapped, spit upon. He's going to be stripped down, flogged, placed on a cross, humiliated, and killed. That's what's in store for Jesus, who realizes it. And in his prayer in the garden, he says, "Father, if there's any way else, if there's anything else we can do, is there a plan B?" His very next sentence is, "However, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus has leaned into the instruction of God and knows this is the only way for us to get back our creation, a pure, holy sacrifice. And it's you. Jesus submits to the will of God in the moment. He understands what God is requiring of him. And to obey God's instruction, you also have to hear his voice. So how do we hear the voice of God in our life? There are lots of different ways that that happens. One of those ways is right here this morning. Some of you are watching online. You're not here, but nonetheless, you're part of our time together this morning. And as we gather as God's people, there are several voices that speak on a Sunday morning that impart God's word and will to you. So as Luke and the praise team lead us in incredibly awesome worship songs, we hear the voice of God speak through that singing. As others like Paul get up here and remind us about Jesus' sacrifice, as we take communion together, we're reminded about the will of God in our life. As we dig into the Word of God during the preaching moment, we're seeing what the will of God is for in our life. As people pray, we hear God's voice through the words of those prayers. There are lots of different ways we hear on a Sunday morning God's voice. It might be a smaller moment in our Connect group, which is our small group system, our adult teaching model here at Crosspoint. And those have begun, by the way. If you're looking for a Bible study, a Connect group to be a part of, call the church office, because some of them are meeting on Zoom and some of them are in person. We'll find the right one just for you. But in those smaller groups, we journey together. We live life together. We dig into the Word of God. We pray over each other. Those very intimate prayers that only that small group knows about. When we're down and out, when we're sick, we carry dinner to each other. We just live life together. And in those moments where we interact, we hear the voice of God from others who are also on the journey with us. Or maybe even a smaller moment, maybe a ministry that you're a part of. There are some that have volunteered this morning to be back and teach our kids in our kids' ministry. Maybe you're a small group leader in our youth ministry, or maybe during the summer you go on one of our summer mission trips, and it's in those moments when you're in ministry that God is revealed to you by conversations, by reading, by practical service one with another. We want to hear his voice. I remember back in 2001, I was asked to come to Camp Blue Haven in New Mexico and be a Bible teacher for a week. And at the time, I was reading through the book, The Prayer of Jabez, where Jabez says, "Expand my territory, God. Show me if I'm doing the right thing. Reveal to me that I'm in line with your will and doing what you want." And so that was my prayer. I remember Tuesday morning during my personal time, I asked God, I said, "God, give me an appointment today. Show me that you're hearing my prayer, that I'm actually in your will and doing what you're calling me to do." So went to breakfast and sat down with hotcakes, sausage, and chocolate milk. Great breakfast for every young youth minister, sitting there eating. And suddenly a guy named Bobby came and sat down in front of me at the table, high schooler. He said, "Hey, Tim, I've been in your Bible class. Is there any way that we can talk after lunch today on the deck of the mess hall?" I said, "Sure." So we got together to talk after lunch. And he's a believer. He has a very good friend that is an atheist. And his question was, how do I talk to him about Jesus without pushing him away? Well, we had a very deep conversation about that. We prayed together, and then Bobby went on his way. And then I turned and looked upward and thanked God for reminding me that I'm in his will, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, thanking him for sending me that appointment that I asked for. And so every single day, you and I are asking that God would reveal himself to us. We want to hear his voice, but to hear his voice, you have to be listening for his voice. You and I are called every single day to listen to the voice of God, but in our current culture, church, we have no margins in our calendar. We are busy all the time. There's something going on all the time. And so finding those quiet moments in the course of a day to listen to the voice of God or for the voice of God sometimes is difficult. There's a great story about listening in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel, who will ultimately become one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history, is a small boy in this story. He is at the tabernacle working with the high priest. His name is Eli, who's an old man. And there comes a moment where they are learning the lay of the land and how to do tabernacle work. And the night comes and they both go to their separate rooms to lay down. Samuel lays down and he hears his name spoken, Samuel. So he thinks Eli needs a glass of water or a cookie or something, I don't know. He gets up and he goes to Eli's room and he goes, "Yes, master, you called me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you by name. Go back and lay down. Stop bothering me," basically. So Samuel goes back to his room. He lays back down. And once his head hits the pillow, he hears his name again, Samuel. When he gets up to go see what Eli wants again, Eli says, "Look, I'm not calling you, but if you hear your name mentioned again, simply say, 'I'm here, Lord. Speak, because your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel goes back and he lays down, and sure enough, his head hits the pillow and he hears Samuel. And then begins an incredible lifelong dialogue with the creator of the known universe. Samuel becomes the man of God because he was willing to listen when God was talking to him. There are moments in our life when we can hear specific voices. And our text this morning reminds us we need to be listening for the voice of God. Our youngest son, Garrett, was, I enjoyed watching him play football in junior high and high school. And in junior high, he was defensive player of the year in ninth grade as a linebacker on the team. And then he became a running back in high school. And I remember it's just like any Friday night on any given school ISD program. You're there at the football field, South Kansas City area. The stands are full. You've got the band, the student section. It's loud and boisterous. The team is down on the sideline, and I'm cheering on my boy and his team. Let's go. And Garrett, almost every week, he would say, "Dad, I can hear two voices at the game, coach and you. Stop." No. But the point is his ears were open to the two most, at that moment, he thought the most important voices, the guy calling the plays and the guy who was encouraging him in the stands. And God is speaking to you right now in your life. And our goal is that we would open our ears to listen for the voice of God. But to be able to hear the voice of God, you have to be willing to spend time with God. You and I have to make margins in our day, boundaries around our time, in order to spend time with God. It'd be interesting to ask you to tell me the number, if we were to look back on the last 7 days, the last week of your life, how much time have you spent with God in his word and in prayer? If you added all that up, what would that look like versus time on your phone, time on social media, time binging Netflix, time shopping? We have to make a decision to lean in and spend time with God so that we can hear his voice speak to us. See, I believe God's voice is a lot like a radio wave. Radio waves are in the air right now. Country music is in the air right now. I know y'all are excited about that. God's voice is in the air right now. But you and I have to make time to tune in the voice of God, because God has a song for you. You and I need to make sure that our receiver is set every day so that we hear the voice of God leaning into our life and coaching us along the way. So how do I know when I've heard the voice of God, the will of God in my own life? When that moment happens, how will I know? Well, one thing I will tell you is that God's will always line up with God's word every single time. There is not a moment where God's will not match the will of God or the word of God. When I was a younger man and had friends who were dating, they would say things like, you know, God has sent me this special someone. I know it's the will of God for me to be with her. And prior to marriage, they would be sleeping together to make sure. They would use those two things. Now, this is one example of many we could use. A moment where we're saying this is the will of God, but it doesn't match God's word. And we could use, again, a lot of examples. But the two will always be in alignment. Ultimately, for God's will to be accomplished, I have to be willing to let go of mine. I have to be willing to say, not my will, God, but your will. I must become less, you must become more. Show me how you've called me to live in my life. Paul has this one verse. I don't know if you've ever contemplated or meditated on it much. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, as he talks to the church in Corinth, he's talking to us today. I want to unpack the middle part of that verse, but here's the verse, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. No mind can imagine. What Paul is revealing to us is that there are no words in our language to actually describe what God has in store for us when we live into his will and his word. That there's no video, there's no picture that actually equates to what God has in store for us. The things that God has for us in our life that we can't even imagine how awesome it is. But to experience those things, you have to say yes to Jesus Christ. You have to say yes to the will of God and God's plan for your life. I want you to think about that for a minute. God has things in store for you in your life that are beyond imagination, that you can only have if you believe in God and his will. Now, I don't know about you, but I want what I can't imagine, so I'm leaning into the will of God. I want him to bless me in ways that I never thought possible. Ultimately, God's will is that you live with him forever. Let me tell you how serious he is about that one sentence. He sent his only son to die for you. He said, I want you to be with me forever. That's my will. I want to have relationship with you. That's my will. I want the very best for you. That's my will. And I'm so serious about that I'm willing to give up my son to make that happen. And so each and every one of us, our desire is to hear the voice of God and to live into his will each and every day. But you and I have got to create some margins in our life to hear his voice. Not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day of our life. Our hope is that God would bless us in mighty ways. He's got his hand out for you, and he's just waiting for you to take hold of it so that he can help you through this life and into the next. God, we have all this for you. We want our life to be for you. We want to lift up your name. That's our desire and our will. He wants to bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. So today, may you feel the Holy Spirit in your life. May you embrace everything that God has for you in your life. May you fully acknowledge that we have an awesome God who wants to give you life and life into the full. And you can't do that. You can't be a part of that life until you say yes to Jesus Christ. And maybe there's some here today who've never been baptized into Christ Jesus. We can do that today. You can say yes to him as your Lord and Savior and take on that life that he's called you to live. Or maybe some of you have just need to be reminded and encouraged that God has not left you. So as we sing this next song, there are going to be shepherds gathered at this door and this door to pray with you and pray over you. And I would encourage you as we sing this next song that you would find one of those shepherd couples and let them do just that. Church, we have an awesome God who wants to do incredible things in your life. And so as we think about him and how incredible he is, let's stand together as the family of God and celebrate his holy name.